I believe it's significant. It's going to be on a time capsule, and even the notes I'm going to put in on a time capsule. Now, some of you might not understand what a time capsule is. What we're going to do is, I've got 4 pages of notes. I just felt in the Lord that, there we are. I just felt in the Lord that we'll record the message as well as keep the notes in a time in an envelope and view it in 5 years or 10 years time, because it's got to do with vision. And Alan talked about expectation. He talked about future and all that. And I believe a vision is all about now and the future. So I want to actually just have this recorded. If Carlos, if you're ready, let me know. We haven't got the technology, but we're going to try. Amen. Let's pray for the children. Check one. Yeah. All right. That's good. You can stay here. That's good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. Give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see. And give us hearts that are open to your word. And we thank you for all the wonderful worship and the testimonies and also, Lord, the communion and the announcements. Now we pray that we would focus upon you, Jesus. You are the living word. And I ask that you just say, convert what I say into reality, the words of eternal life. In Jesus' mighty and wonderful name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. It's been a big week for most of us. Floods, storms, cyclones. But I'm sure all of you are all good. And so I just want to say that this week, this man, three of us are speaking. I'm speaking twice, and Vanel and Alan May will be speaking as well. And our topic is vision creates hope. And you know, funny thing, hope is actually the expectation of good things. So you talked about, there's another thing. Alan and I have been having wordplay. I'm not very good at wordplay, at Scrabble and all that. But Alan and I have been doing wordplay this morning. He said some words that tie up with my message and even his communion message. Expectations now tie up with the theme, vision creates hope. Hope is basically an expectation of good things. It's intrinsic in us that everybody wants good things to happen to you. I mean, if you plan for bad things to happen. No, you don't. You want good things. In the midst of the bad things that happen, you want good things to still happen. So vision creates hope, which is the expectation of good things. That's not my title. That's the theme. My title is, your vision now might look like a mouse, but don't let that take the Mickey out of you. You can write that down. And you'll know why I've chosen this title. It'll probably help you when I conclude the sermon. There's an illustration that ties up with that. Your vision now might look like a mouse, but don't let that take the Mickey out of you. A definition of vision is a sense of ability or sight. The definition of vision is the sense or ability of sight. Another definition of a vision is an ideal or a goal toward which one aspires. We all have a vision. You know, you might think you don't have a goal, but you do. In fact, many of you are just going to try and speak to you so that you might reignite those goals. Some of you have bigger goals than the others. Some of you have smaller goals. Some of you just have goals that are dormant and stagnant, but you need to revive that. So it's an ideal or goal towards which one aspires. Now, if I could get the girls up there, look at Grace and Vinel, they're doing their job there in the back there. Well done. There's a saying, a task without a vision is drudgery. A vision without a task is daydreaming. And a task with a vision is the pathway to victory and achievement. I reckon this is one of the most powerful statements about vision. And if you are writing down, write this down, because too many times a vision is without a task. Too many times a task is without a vision. But what we do need is a task with a vision. So in other words, a task and a vision go hand in hand. And I'm going to share about that in the next few minutes about how we can have a vision, but you have to have tasks. Some people say to me, oh, you can't be full of works. And that's right. We you know, as a church, we can never have works. You know, works doesn't bring life. Works bring death. But the Bible says, you know, faith without works is dead. So we got to have works. And some people say to me, oh, you work too hard. You show me a person who wants to build something that doesn't do any work. I'll show you a person that's not building anything. So we need to understand. So I just want you to meditate upon the word. And better still, if you're writing notes, I'd encourage you. Because if you, like me, can't remember everything, you need to write down things. Amen. A task without a vision is drudgery. A vision without a task is daydreaming. Where you are you in drudgery mode? Are you in daydreaming mode? Or are you on the pathway to victory and achievement? Amen. I hope you're not in drudgery. I hope you're not in daydream. Some of you, I need to slap you because you are in daydream. Slap you with the love of the Lord. Amen. That's right. Amen. Let me tell you about a bit of my history. I like to talk about myself. I don't want to talk about others. That's gossiping. I'll talk about myself. So I wanted a good home. When I grew up, I was a young kid. I just had a aimless journey after I was a very clever boy. I am a very clever boy, still I think. I was just journeyless or aimless. I was coming from the age of, I don't know what happened. If you know, they talk about dark ages. I struggled through dark ages from the age of 12 to about 16. For 4 years, something happened to me. I still can't find out what exactly happened. I just started to get into rebellion. Probably that's normal of children, Louise would say. I just got into rebellion. I lost my focus. I lost my motivation. I lost the ability of being a clever boy. I was doing stupid things like stealing and arguing with adults and rebelling, smoking, drinking, trying to smoke and drink. And thankfully, it never worked. And doing all the funny things, you know, just having anger and all that. But deep down in my heart, the real me wanted a good home. I wanted a good marriage. I wanted a good family. I wanted good friends. I wanted a satisfying career. I wanted to travel, live overseas. Some of you might know, many years ago, it was harder to travel than now. In 1980, when my brother-in-law actually left South Africa to come and live in Australia, I looked at that aeroplane and I thought, I wish I could just touch the aeroplane. But then you couldn't because you weren't allowed to get there. Just 1980, that wasn't too long ago. And I used to think, one day I'm going to get on the aeroplane. That is as small as my vision was. One day I'm going to get into an aeroplane. And I was 20 years old in 1980. And I never got an opportunity of going in an aeroplane until 15 years later. At the age of 35, I went for the first time in a plane. And I thought, ooh, I am dreaming. I had to pinch myself because I couldn't believe this was real. But that was a dream I had. I wanted to go overseas. I wanted to live in a country called Australia. Every time I used to work in the shipping industry. I see anything that comes from Australia, my mind, I'll go daydreaming. I thought, oh, there I go again. I'll be dreaming about Australia. I didn't even know what Australia looked like. I didn't even know where it was. I mean, I knew where it was on the map. But I never knew where Australia was. But I was dreaming about coming and living in Australia. And also, while I was a young kid, after I got over my dark ages, I wanted to be actively involved in the church. I wanted to be a pastor. I had a burning compulsion, a passion in me to be a pastor. I knew God had put this dream in my heart, but my life was so sort of confused. I didn't know where I was getting, but I wanted to be a pastor. You know, I had that goal. I had the dream. I had the vision. I had everything, but my life was all mixed up. You know, and there were things that I set as a goal for, and I prayed, and I prayed. And Alan said it's so good today because it's so, I believe it ties up with the word of God today. Because, and Vani said that too as well, the scriptures really say the blessings of the Lord bring wealth, and he adds no sorrow to it. And Alan said the expectation. And I prayed, I said, God, you're going to help me with all my dreams. You're going to help me with all my goals. You know what? God helped me. I want to tell you something about your goals and your dreams. You know, when you aspire for it and when you desire it, the Lord will bless you. As Vani said, the Lord blesses us and he adds no sorrow to it. Today, I can tell you all those goals came to pass. Every one of them. I have a good home. I have a good marriage. I don't know if she thinks so. I have a family, good family. I have good friends. I got a good career. that was a good career because I really don't want to be in that career anymore. I'm now living overseas. I am now actively involved in the ministry as a pastor. Every one of those goals came to pass. But let me tell you something. Those goals did not happen overnight. It took blood. It took sweat. It took tears. It took a long time. It took frustration. It took disappointment. It took discouragement. It took uncertainty. It took things that I never could understand that tried to hinder me from reaching my goals. But one thing I do know, it does take a lot of prayer. It does take a lot of persevering. It does take a lot of pressing on. And I want to tell you, church, I want to tell you on your personal capacity, you've got a goal and you think it's going to happen tomorrow. Let me give you bad news. It's not going to happen tomorrow. It takes a moment to see a vision. It takes a lifetime to see the vision come to pass. I want to encourage you. Vision creates hope. When you have a vision for your life, it creates that expectation of good things. But it's a vision without a task is just a daydream. A task without a vision is just drudgery. But a vision with a task is achievement. Amen. I want to encourage you. Some of you are sitting here this morning and are thinking, my goals are not coming to pass. My goals and dreams are not coming to pass. Let me say, get off your laurels and do something about it. You can't expect your goals and your dreams to come into fruition if you don't do anything about it. You got to do something. Let me say the next verse on the next slide I want to show. I've only got one scripture. Tell everybody, tell your neighbors. We only got one scripture today. But it's such an important scripture. Psalm 16 verse 8 says, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Hallelujah. Hey, didn't get it? Next slide, number two. All right, we're not getting it. I have set the Lord before me, always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Amen. Now I find myself at the age of 52. At the age of 52, I find myself, I'm reaching, you know, the pinnacle of life, when it's, when you need your glasses to read your vision statement, when things fall on the floor, all over, you go push it with your leg, so that you can just pick it up once. Louise is laughing. when you go home and you just want to put your feet up, you want someone to bring you tea, Barney, and you want someone to bring you coffee, you just got your legs up. I find that at the age of 52, you know, I'm thinking, I got to do this all over again. I got to do this all over again, you know. But I thank God that the scripture says, you know, and this is my clutch, or rather my crutch, or the encouraging scripture in Psalm 16:8. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Write that scripture down. That's one of my favorite scriptures. I say, God, if you are before me, doesn't matter, my bones are not going with me, but if you are before me, my bones will have to go with me. You know what I mean? Doesn't matter, I don't have the energy anymore. But I want to be like Caleb saying, give me this mountain. I can do at 85 the same thing I was able to do at 45. Because why? I have set the Lord always before me. And because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. And I tell you what, I'm not afraid of the vision that God gave me for Pottsville and Beachside Church. I'm going to share this with you today and going to say to you, you know, seeing a vision can be done and written in a moment, but reaching that vision can take a lifetime. Vision involves a start. You've got to start seeing something. If you don't see something in the invisible, you're not going to see it in the physical. Most of you will agree with me. Yeah. Anthony would know. He got a goal. He just came from India. He saw. I see India. He saw India. We do different bits of, we work in different parts of India. He saw India. We have a vision for India. Different visions, but same purpose, amen? And in a sense, and so we need to involve our vision and make sure that it involves work, it involves hope, it involves achieving that vision one day. It's not so important how you start in life. It's more important how you finish. Amen. I'm giving you some gold nuggets here because some of you might need to write these principles down because they become so familiar otherwise, and so known to us. Until you meditate upon it and take it into your spirit, you won't get anything out of it. It is not so important how you start in life. It's more important how you finish. Some of you may have not had a good start. In fact, some of you are not even having a good beginning or middle. But I tell you, if you set the Lord always before you, in Jesus' name, you will have a good end. You could just say amen right there. Amen. You might not have a good start. You might not even have a good middle. You might be going through a lot of things right now, but I tell you, God's word will come to pass. Alan talked about that in great length, that God's word will come to pass. You need to put God before everything else and believe that what he's saying is what you have to do, and put God before you and go ahead. Let's look at the next slide. In order for your goals to be reached, you must see the present from the perspective of the future. You know, there are times when I've got to admit, I'm afraid to come to church on a Sunday. I'm worried, who's going to be there to help us? How many people are going to come? How much hands have we got to come and help us? But you know what? If I let the present dictate to me, there will be no hope for my future. So we got to see our vision for our goals to be reached. You must see the present from the perspective of the future. And you know what? Vani and I were chatting this morning. We were glad we could chat in the car. And we talked about don't lose heart. You need to look forward to God's eternal and great glory because God is so good. If God said he's going to do something, if it's not me, he will use somebody else. But whatever happens, he will do what he just said. Because he's God, he will not lie. And we got to look forward to God's eternal glory, saying, I might be failing in my strength, but one thing I know, God never, ever, never, ever, never, ever fails. Amen. I believe that. So our vision involves looking from the perspective, looking at the present from the perspective of the future. It's not where I am now, but where I'm going to be in the future. It's not me, it's God. Amen. Those two principles should liberate you about the vision you got for your life. Amen. In Jesus' name. So, I have a few questions. You ready for questions? Have you heard about this great church in Australia called Beachside Church? Hi, look, even the phone heard about it too. Have you heard about this church? A great church in the middle of a great place called Pottsville, near the creek where the water is so blue. And where people come to holiday and they don't even remember there's a church there. But it's a great church. It's called Beachside Church. It is a growing church. Only has about 50 or 60 members currently. Do you know that the leaders here pray regularly for great growth and purpose in spite of not seeing this numerically every week? Do you know it has a mission which says... Not Giovanni. If only you and I know it. It's no wonder we struggle at times. Do you know it has a mission called? Come on. Do you know the mission of the church? Yeah, to make a real difference. Welcome, Stephen. You learned something today. Yeah, to make a real difference. Do you know it's not the mission of the church as much as it's a mission about your life? Do you know that the seeds of our future successes is already being sown? We didn't come to sow any new seeds. We've come to water the flourishing plants that were already growing here because we weren't the starters of this church. It was already in this place. So the seeds of the success of this church is already in the ground. It's been fertilized. It's been watered. It's been nourished by the earth, spiritually speaking. Do you know that the secret of our future success lies in our daily routine? I don't have a pie in the sky dream that this church is going to grow and me sit on my back and put my chair up and expect nothing to happen, because I do believe that the secret of your future success, whether in a personal capacity or in a corporate capacity, lies in the things you do every day. Amen. Don't miss every day, because that your future contains the days of every day. Not every day of your lives, but every day of your life. Your future success lies in what you do every day. Some of us are so fascinated about the future, and you say the future ain't what it used to be, because you're never going to get there because you don't nurture the day after day after day after day. I was talking to Louise. She said she's just so happy to be back in a daily routine. I said, I'm like you. Good to have the holidays, but sometimes you need a break from the holiday. The only way you can get a break from the holiday is to go back in your daily routine. Amazing. And then when your daily routine gets stale, you want to go back to a holiday. It's a cycle of life. Do you know what I see for this church, or what I see in this church? And this is why I said this is going to be on a time capsule. Lots of people, come on, radically changed by the power of God's good news of the gospel and the Holy Spirit, and lives changed and set free from the bondage of sin. This is what I see. I see people miraculously healed and lives transformed by the kindness, by the love and abundance of God's grace. Hallelujah. I see great number of young people raising their hands in devotion and worship with their lives surrendered to Jesus, saying, like the three Hebrew boys that were thrown in the fire, you can throw us in the fire, but we will not bow to the systems of this world because we love God. That's what I see. I see Christians from here penetrate this the marketplace. Others from the community coming to you and asking you, what is the reason for your success? And you will turn around, as Vani rightly said, you will turn around and say, I am successful because the Lord is with me. That's what I see. People like you, not me, people like you, saying that because this is what God's going to do in your life. I see God's house on a Sunday and the other days we meet, full of happy people, full of joyful people, full of singing, full of clapping, and full of celebrating. They're going to even have my Titans hand. I should have brought that this morning. My clapping hand, the Titans. Whoa, come on. You can feel the anointing. Shaka. Full of happy people, joyful people, singing, clapping, and celebrating. I see the worship so inspiring like this morning. Thank you, guys. That was brilliant, Carlos. Thank you. It was really good worship. I see the worship so inspiring, so vibrant, so doof, doof, doof. So full of the Holy Spirit, so anointed that Jesus literally lives in our worship. It's not loud because of loudness. It's loud because of joy. I see children so eager, so enthusiastic to go to church. They're tugging at the mother's dress. They're tugging at the father's pants, saying, Mommy, Daddy, come on, let's go to church. We're not sitting at home. We're not sleeping at home. We are going to church. That's what I see. I see people coming from the community, coming and asking us, please, so-and-so, please Alan May, please Anthony, please whoever, please come and talk to us. Tell us the reason for your success. I see sponsors coming to the pantry wanting to give and to give and to give and to give and to give. And they want to say, we can't help but support your program because you are helping people in the community that are in need. I see that. I see volunteers so bursting at the seams, just wanting to help us when we are in need of help there. I see that. I see a center of learning and empowerment where we teach principle of success, not afraid to tell people you can't succeed, but we do it not in man's way, but in God's way. Amen. I see that. I see that. I see God's people from here carrying great influence in our community, nation, and other parts of the world. I see that. I see people from here going, like what Anthony's done, going to India, going to Africa, and you might have a place that you want, and I'll probably say that in the next time. I see people going to Africa, to India, and people from that country coming over here, and they're helping us, and we're having regular interchange programs. I see these things, church, but let me tell you, because I see them, doesn't mean it won't happen. It might not happen now, but I'm telling you, if God has given me the vision for this church, it will happen. I need God, and I need you to help us fulfill this vision. If you think you're part of this, then stay and support what God is asking us to do, because this is not done for my honor and glory. It's done for the name of Jesus. Amen. As I said, I'm 52 years old. Sometimes I think I don't need this in life. But I know I'm doing what God wants me to do. And it's that vision of something great happening, being a servant of Jesus Christ, that will propel me to see all this come to pass. You see, church, that's what vision does. It gives you the ability to see the present from the perspective of the future. And you don't see things as it is now, but you see things as it should be. And that creates a hope, hallelujah. It creates that hope. I expect good things. Oh, yes, we set 75 chairs. You know, let me tell you why we set 75 chairs, in case you think I'm no good at math. The reason why we set 75 chairs is I believe that people will one day fill this church. 75 might just be not enough. Soon. Les Warrigo, some of you might know Amelia Warrigo. In 1998, when we first came to Australia, I used to go preach in the church. 6 people used to attend the church. 35 chairs used to be set in the church. I called Les one day. I said, Les, why are you setting 35 chairs? In fact, I should say, Devani, I had a burning passion to preach, but I didn't get much opportunity. And the only opportunity I got was to preach in a six-member church. But I tell you what, I said to you the other day, whether it's 6 members or 100 members or 1,000 members, I know for one thing, God's word never returns void to him. Les used to set 35 chairs, and I thought, Les, you're either dreaming or you got big faith. You know what? He had big faith, because he set 35 chairs. Today, the church is over 200 people strong, and they're still growing, because you know what? People did not lose the vision that those chairs will be filled. Not with Christians, but people saved from the community to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord. See, vision creates hope. Vision, no matter how tough it looks now, your now is going to get better and better and better. You know, let me say something about a vision. If I sum it up in 2 words, Alan said something this morning, and I'll say it in a different way. I said, one day. Your vision is one day. You know how many of you said that in your own words? One day, I won't struggle like this. Don't you say that? One day, I'm going to see the victory. One day, it's going to be all right. And I say that myself. Your one day is coming. Amen. Your one day is made out of a series of many days of sweat, many days of blood, many days of tears, many days upon your knees, many days trusting God in spite of what you see daily, that one day is coming as you perceived it. Amen. Don't be disillusioned. That one day will come if you live and do what you are told to do every day. That's a basic principle about vision. Likewise, you might look at your vision and say, wow, this is too big for me. I can't do it. I'm glad when you say you can't do it, you're right. That's a very good place to be. You know why you can't do it? you trust that the Lord will help you to do it. Therefore, I say, learn and meditate on Psalm 16:8. You are right. Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. Don't look anywhere else but God. And I want to encourage you today, if you have a personal vision for your life, don't be discouraged. I don't know what your vision is. This is my vision for the church, and I know you are part of it. But you might have even more. You might have a personal vision. You might have a goal. Let me say something. Don't be discouraged. This is where the scripture applies so much. I have set the Lord always before me because he's at my right hand. I will not be moved. I will not be moved. Amen. I will not be moved. No matter what happens, I will not be moved. The criteria between the fulfilled and the unfulfilled is not the riches we have or you have or the cars you drive or the jewelry you adorn yourself with, but it is your ability to believe in yourself. It is the ability to believe yourself, trust God with all your heart, be willing to get up when life floors you, have the perseverance and tenacity to stay in the ring when life throws punches at you, to wipe the blood, to wipe the sweat, to wipe the tears and say, I am here for the long haul. I'm going to see this thing through the hand, so help me God. And when you say, so help me God, you believe in God can help you. Amen. Stay in the ring, church. Stay in the ring. Some of you, it's like life is like one big boxing ring. You're getting punches after punches after punches. And your manager, that's you, you want to throw in the towel. Let me say, stay in the ring because you will achieve God's God-given dreams in your heart if you are willing to stay in the ring. Don't give up. Don't give up. Sometimes we come so close to achieving the vision, dreams, and the dreams we have. We're so close, we give up too quickly. So you ask me, how can my vision be fulfilled? This is an important question, and I'm glad you asked me that. How can my vision be fulfilled? Let's look at slide 4, very simply. The next slide. I've got to wait for this because this is important because you need to get it. How can my vision be fulfilled? Be motivated by purpose. Ask the question, why am I here? And what is my purpose? Ask God to show you. Ask God, go show you. Now ask God to show you. Be motivated. Stop being, woe is me. Woe is me is better. Hey, woe is me. I'm motivated. Yes, there are times when, you know, I said, Devani, no matter what happens all the time, just go there and show the joy of the Lord. Don't be an hypocrite. Believe in a God that is giving you joy and live it. Amen. Be motivated. Choose a direction and a destination. That's very good. If I go to Sydney, it's no use me heading my car up to Cairns. True? True? If I told you drive down to Sydney, Anthony, you would go down this way, wouldn't you? He won't go down that way. If I said drive down. You choose a direction. And you choose after choosing your destination. You know, too many times people are choosing one direction, next moment they're in another direction, next moment they're in this direction. No wonder they're so confused. Honestly, why people are so confused sometimes, and it's not a judgment, not a criticism. It's we got too many directions. Choose one direction and ask God to help you get to your destination. Don't choose too many. You know, a lot of people here in our church and many other people are sitting, they don't know what's happening. They don't know whether they're Hartha or Martha. The reason being, you have not chosen a direction. Ask God to show you the direction you have to go and follow in the destination towards that, in that direction towards your destination. Don't choose too many. Don't go here, there, everywhere. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, everywhere. You know that song? No, just go one place and choose and stay in the destination. Get into motion, the third one. Write this down. Get into motion. If you want to go somewhere, to Sydney, using that illustration again, you have to get into your car. Get in and start moving. You can see Sydney there for the rest of your life. It's there, 900 kilometers. But if you don't get in your car and move, you're not going to get to Sydney if you that was your intention to go by car. You got to get into motion. A lot of people are daydreaming, and I'm saying this with love in my heart, as you could understand. We can't get anywhere because we're not willing to get into motion. We want to do everything. We want to conquer the world, but you don't even leave your bedroom to get into the kitchen to do the work. Honestly, because if you can start getting into motion, start doing things and getting into the place where you commit yourself to mobilize your energy and resources in the pursuit of your God-given destiny and purpose. Stop saying it'll happen. Just go and make it happen. Amen. If you believe that's a God-given destination, a God-given direction, a God-given goal, a God-given vision, go and move in the direction of it. But get yourself moving. Stop staying one place. Let me read you a story in conclusion. Now you will know why I said the message was, the title is, your vision now might look like a mouse, but don't let that take the Mickey out of you. Here we are. Let's read the story. Who do you think I'm going to talk about? Should have given you a clue there. Walt Disney. Walt Disney was a remarkable man of vision. He never gave up. Early in his career, a newspaper fired him because they thought he had no good ideas. That just made Disney try harder. When he was starting out in Kansas City, he couldn't sell his cartoons. Some hinted that he had no talent. But Walt Disney had a dream, so he set out to conquer his foes. He found a minister who paid him a small amount, minister of a church, who paid him a small amount to draw some advertising pictures for his church. That's where he started his career. Disney had no place to stay, so the church let him sleep in the mouse-infested garage. Now listen to this. One of those mice, which Disney nicknamed Mickey Mouse or Mickey, became his friends, and Mickey Mouse became a world-famous character as the world knows. The early days were tough, but the remarkable creative visionary refused to give up. Walt would occasionally present some unbelievable, extensive dream to his board about an idea he was entertaining. Almost without exception, the members of his board would gulp, blink, and stare back at him in disbelief, resisting even the thought of such a thing. But unless every member resisted, listen to this, but unless every member resisted or said your idea was no good, Disney usually did not pursue it. If everybody disagreed with him unanimously, then he went ahead and did what exactly everybody was saying won't happen. Now, I'm not going to just let you know, I'm not going to be like that. I want your support. I want your agreement. I don't operate like Walt Disney. That's where I differ from him. The challenge wasn't big enough to merit his time and creative energy unless they were unanimously in a disagreement. Is it any wonder that Disneyland and Disney World are now true, big, real business realities in the world? This type of faith is required for visionaries in business, but also for us as Christians. Like Disney, we need to dream big and trust in God for the impossible. When Disney World in Orlando, Florida was opened in 1974, Mrs. Disney was sitting beside Walter Cronkite, wherever he was. Walt Disney has passed away a few years earlier. Walter Cronkite wanted to say just the right thing to Mrs. Disney, so he leaned over to her and said, "Wouldn't it be great if Walt were here to see this today?" Mrs. Disney wisely replied, "If Walt had not first seen this, you would not be seeing it today." I love that. If Walt had not seen this today, you would not be seeing this. And church, you guys can come up. That's where I want to encourage you. You have to see your vision. You have to motivate yourself towards your vision. You have to get the direction of your vision and follow in the destination. And you got to get moving. No more. A vision without a task is daydreaming. A task without vision is drudgery. But a task and a vision together is achievement. Let me say something to you this morning. God has given each one of you a vision for your life. Each one of you. This is my vision for the church. I see it. I'm not disappointed. I get disappointed at times. In fact, sometimes I get so busy and I think, I just can't do it sometimes. Just getting busier, busier, busier. But I know one thing. We'll have to work all that out. Those are the little technical details we got to sort out. But I do know one thing. When God starts something, He has the wonderful ability to complete it. It'll take you, or maybe even miss you. But one thing is for certain, God will complete it. How about you? I want to give you a time for personal accountability. How about you this morning? Are you pursuing your God-given dreams? Some of us need to really get out of our chairs and say, I am pursuing my God-given dream. Some of you haven't even got a dream. Some of you haven't even got a purpose. You're wondering, what hit me? It wasn't the 40-ton Pantechnicon that went down the road. It was your own self that hit you. Amen. Let's just stand this morning. If you don't see it, others won't see it. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is my right hand, I shall not be moved. As I said, the criteria between the fulfilled and the unfulfilled is not the riches you have or the cars you drive or the jewelry you adorn yourself with, but it is your ability to believe in yourself, trust God with all your heart, be willing to get up when life floors you, have the perseverance and tenacity to stay in the ring when life throws punches at you, to wipe the blood, sweat and tears and say, I am here for the long haul. I'm going to see this through, and God, help me. God wants to help you today, church. Let me say something about your vision. A vision creates hope. A vision creates an expectation of good things. Those words today we heard today, how God blesses us, how God gives us expectation. And I tell you, if your vision is anchored in God, those things that you are dreaming about and praying about and thinking about will come to pass. You don't have to be like skillful like Walt Disney or big as Walt Disney. Whatever you do, that one day will come because you saw that your one day is all the days that make up every day becomes that one day. Amen. Amen. Don't wait for that one day and don't do what you have to do every day, because that's how you achieve your vision, by doing every day what you know one day will come to pass. Hopefully that is not making sense. It's like a riddle, but I'm sure it's becoming clear in your mind. Let's sing a song. Here I am. Sing a song.
For your glory.
Father, we thank you that the vision creates hope, Lord God.
For your glory be lifted high. Be lifted high.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, open our eyes that we might see.
Be lifted high.
I want to give you an opportunity while the worship is happening. If you need prayer, come up, we're going to pray with you this morning. You need a vision. You need a goal. You need God's help. Please come up. I'm going to pray with you and believe that God's going to touch your life today. Don't be ashamed. Come out today.
You're the reason why we're singing for you.
Challenge this morning. men and women. Please don't get me wrong. I love every one of you. But I want you to answer this question. If you don't have motivation, if you don't have direction, you don't seem to go towards a you're not seeming to go towards a destination, and your life is no motion, all the motion is stopped. I want you to come out before God and cry to Him and say, Lord, help me. Help me. I'm not begging you, I'm challenging you. If you think you need direction, you think you need motivation, you think you need purpose in your life, and you're not sure about the destination God wants you to go, I'm telling you, church, if you don't challenge yourself to get out and ask God to touch you, you're going to be always going around, moving around and around and around, but not moving forward. God wants you to move forward today. God wants to break that shackle of chains that are holding you, that you can't move forward. Same old, same old, same old, same old. God doesn't want that to happen to you. He wants to create a fresh revelation of His glory upon your life. So you come out and ask God to say, God, please help me. You've got nothing to be ashamed of. You'd rather come and ask God to touch you now so He can give you direction in your life than sitting here time after time after time after time and going back to the same motions, working the same people. You come before God and say, God, help me. I need destination. I need direction towards my destination. Would you come out today? My challenge is very clear. Would you come out today? If your life is in a stagnant position, I'm going to pray with you today. Amen. It's okay if you don't come. I'm not forcing you. I'm not begging you. But I feel when I look at many of you, I say, some of you need to be having a vision for your life today. You need a vision for your life. You need some purpose in your life. You need to understand the direction God wants you to go.
You're the only.
going to ask the men all to step down. All the men from the pulpit, come down. I'm going to pray for the men, all right? I'm going to pray for all the men that are here this morning. I'm asking you to come and stand with me. This church is very female dominated, as you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, the ladies are very good and hard workers, and I love that. But I want to pray with all the men. I want to... Tracy, can you give me all the vouchers, the pamphlets in the back there? Bring all those pamphlets, the real men's event pamphlets. I'm just going to pray a prayer for all the men. Hey, how's the truck? How's the truck? We're going to pray for all the men. All the men, come and line up here. I'm going to... Amen. Thanks, Tracy. I'm just going to talk to you for half a minute and then... Come, Steve. Come, Richard. You can come again. Richard. Come, Carlos. Leave the music and come now. Amen. Okay. Here it is, guys. Gentle and simple. The Lord has placed upon our heart a big responsibility in this church, right? Need you all to stand by me and support me. This work is big. Maybe it looks small now, and some of you guys don't even know what goes on behind the scenes. But it's so simple. I need your help. If you consider yourself...